work with an artist that does icon of Bible and Bible stories on the walls and ceilings of Saint Sophia Orthodox Church in Albany. Latino artists from Ecuador that they do leather work and metal work. So there are a variety of artists from a variety of background doing variety of work.
Where did you find a sense of community when you came here to the United States?
When I came here, I went to a language program. And in the language program, there were students from all over the world. Somehow, the Latino students were very warm, very friendly, non-judgmental. And I was very attracted to who they were, their attitude, their presence. So I felt at home when I was with a Latino student, and as the time passed, in everything that I did, I was exposed to the Latino community and many Latino friends, and eventually working for over 30 years in a Latino organization. So I found home within the Latino community, and they supported me, and I felt safe through every aspect of my life, from a couple from Puerto Rico that walked me down the aisle as my father when my father couldn't come, to, making surprise baby shower when I adopted my son. I have a passion and love for Hispanic community, and I love to serve them and give back all the support, all the love that they've given me. So every opportunity I get to give back, not only just to the country, but to Latino community in particularly, I welcome that opportunity.
What is the background of your children? Like, what are their nationalities?
My son is Middle Eastern and African American, and my daughter is Caucasian and African American.
And you said you adopted?
Yes.
What did you study at college, and where did you go to college?
State University in Albany, and I got a bachelor's degree in theater and a master's degree in educational administration.
Why did you study theater?
Well, art were always my passion since I was a little girl. I didn't want to play and do the things other kids wanted to do. I did not have any toys, believe it or not, growing up. But I always wanted to present something. So I would take the sheets from the bed and create curtain, and I would separate my friends. Some would be audience and the rest were actors, and I was the director. I never wanted to act. I always wanted to direct. I always loved the opportunity to create. Theater always was live experience. So I loved it. And in Iran, it's not very popular and common at the time that I was looking to go to college. So I went through the national exam, and I was accepted in a drama school nursing and psychology. Those were my areas of interest. So my mom expected that I go to drama, to psychology or nursing, and advised me not to study theater. And my father was the one that says, you study what you love. So I started theater in Iran, and I brought the credits that I took in Iran and in Italy to SUNY Albany, and I continue until I finished theater. And I was able to direct two plays for performing arts school at SUNY Albany.
You talked a bit about how when you were young that you liked to set up the curtains, and you felt like that sort of like director position that you really loved, and it seems like you're very passionate about. Are you able to have that some of that sort of creative space here in your field work? Are you able to use that creative side of yourself?
Yes and no. Yes, because I work with the artists. So I am so touched when they explain about their art. It's so satisfying, even though I am not doing it, but the fact that I'm the one that create opportunity for them, listens to them, and then work with the rest of my team at New York Folklore to identify grants that will give them opportunity to create more arts, and for them that their dream and aspiration come to reality, that is satisfying.
Talking about the grant work, how do you go about helping the artists through grant work?
So after meeting an artist and sitting down, interviewing them about who they are, where they come from, how they became an artist, where they learned it. So I really get to understand and learn about the person behind the art, the experiences, the life. And then I talk to them, what is they want to do with it? Do they want to keep it private for themselves? Or they want to share it? Many of them, they want to share. They want people to see their work. They want that their work doesn't die with them, that there be a next generation that loves folk art and wants to do folk art. Depend on the form of art, some they use it as a way of making a living. And so it's always what is that the artist wants, what is the dream and aspiration. And everything from making, you know, arrangement for them to be able to teach, to be able to sell, it's so fulfilling and satisfying to me when I see their faces, when I see their satisfaction. And obviously we can't make magic, but being able to do little things that support them is wonderful.
Going back, how do you feel your experience at SUNY Albany helped you prepare for Centro Civico and then New York Folk, New York Folklore?
SUNY is a great educational institution for all students there, local, international, that they come. All educational institutions that embrace their student and create opportunity, they have a long-lasting impact on who you are. It doesn't matter which courses, which subject matter. That exposure, the professors are out of this world. They're highly qualified. They bring so much to the classroom. So I was like a sponge, because everything was, you know, wonderful. There were incidents like the airport incidents, but again, those incidents at SUNY was what helped me to learn and grow. So I look back and I see an institution that educated me, taught me about life, taught me about opportunities, experiences. I made my first American friend at SUNY when I was doing the language program. There were Americans that they volunteered to spend 1 day a week, 1 hour per that day with foreign students over lunch and have conversation. So you can hear them and you can start using the language and be able to make sentences and to practice, and they have opportunity to correct you. So my English conversation became my friend, and I spent first Thanksgiving, I didn't even know what Thanksgiving means, in her house. So in every aspect, this is just a small example, you get so much exposure, you learn and grow. You don't realize it, but when you look back, you think how those memories brought so much joy and so much growth, helping you grow.
It seems like a lot of it, you made a lot of community connections too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. What was your transition like after retirement and then going straight into a part-time position over at New York Folklore?
It was hard to let go. I think Centro Civico was like my baby. You know, 30 years, every single day, going in with love, passion, opportunity to work with the man and woman that I worked together, making difference in the community, making difference in the lives of the people we were blessed to serve, doing neighborhood revitalization, being an economic development force. So it was very hard for 30 years driving to Amsterdam on the thruway. And then one day waking up, you're not going anywhere. You don't have a meeting. You don't have an agenda. So it was challenging to let go. But I knew that it's time for a new person, a new way of looking at things to come. Another person that will have opportunity to provide leadership to the organization and to the community, develop newer partnerships. So it was time. After going through the emotions and really relaxing in every aspect and not worrying about payroll and not worrying about grant and report deadlines and all of the things that comes with the responsibility of executive director's job. I started thinking, now what? And what is new, what is I can do, how can I continuously contribute? So when the New York Folklore opportunity came along, I embraced it because in every aspect, it was what I needed, what I could do, what I love to do, and an opportunity that gave me that sense of continuous connection to the community. Things that are still and until the last breath will be of value to me. So I'm very happy now that I look back. I say my baby is all grown, doesn't need me any longer. And I'm doing new things, and that by itself also is refreshing.
So I know that you were talking about how you had a lot of support from your father throughout the years. How does it look now? after retiring with Centro Civico and doing your passions through New York folklore, how do you communicate that support and still see that with your father?
He has been, and still is, very involved in my life. He's 94. I'm very blessed that his mind is sharper than mine. And he asks questions. He wants to know. There is a sense of joy and pride when I tell him how I'm living my life and how he influence so much of my life, and how I implement, and how lessons that he taught me, I share with others, and I teach my children for next generation. So he is very proud. He's very happy. And I pray that he lives as long as possible and not be there for me. And I will be there for him.
I guess there was just so much we talked about that was it was really, really wonderful to hear from you. How do you find your place within New York folklore? Do you feel like the work you're making has been impactful that you've found?
Absolutely, I love what I do, as I mentioned, and the team at New York Folklore, other field worker and folklorist. I learned from them continuously. And they all have the same love and passion for preservation of the traditions. We live in a world that doesn't put a lot of value on the traditional art, traditional music, traditional way of life. Everything seems like more and more modern and high-tech. And the kids don't show much of an interest unless you create a sense of awareness, because they don't want to be different. They want to blend in. They no longer want to, many of the girls have quinceañera, but sweet 16, because all their classmate is celebrating that. Within that world, valuing and showcasing and preserving the traditions, I think is remarkable. And when kids have an opportunity to get involved, they learn. I give you an example. One of the artists is a kite maker from Afghanistan. So going to with him to schools, when he teaches kids that they are always on the cell phone, how to make kite and enjoy playing kite and, you know, flying them, going outside the classroom and flying and learn about how kids in other countries with little simple thing, they have so much entertainment, they have so much joy, and how with their friends they make kite, play with kite, and see them realizing and actually putting the phones down and going and flying kites and learn how to make them if they want to. Just those are examples of how those small exposure create opportunity and learning and experiencing traditions.
It seems like a lot of what folklorists do and what you've been experiencing in your position is finding that interconnected experiences that people have and that are not as discussed anymore.
Yes.
Yeah. Did throughout your life, have you kept some connections with some of the people who've impacted your life?
Yes. Outside of my family, obviously, I for years until I lost contact, I was in communication with my conversation partner, Fate. Her name was Fate. So from the artist Panchita, a Puerto Rican folklorist, quinceañera maker, capia maker, always play my mom role because I lost my mother. And she is in her 80s. She's in Amsterdam. And even though I don't live in Amsterdam, I always go and visit her. And I love when she cooks for me. So she was at my wedding. She has been part of my life. So I try to, as much as is humanly possible, keep connection with the people who impact my life, with the lessons they teach me, the love they give me, the support when I need it. So yes, as much as possible.
So the conversation partner you were talking about, this is from SUNY Albany?
Yes.
Oh, okay. And what about the man from the airplane?
I was in communication with him for, I would say, around 3.5-4 years after arrival to my country, until I lost contact. But the memories, the love, the kindness, it will always be with me. They might not physically be in my life, but they are alive in my heart and in my thoughts.
I know how you were talking about when you were younger, how your father had talked about the sense of giving and the sense of being in touch with your community. You feel that now in the position that you're in with New York Folklore and being connected with these communities, have you been able to bring that sort of have you been able to keep that sort of sense of giving and understanding in your work?
Absolutely. Because your job description tells you what is expected. But then I'll do much more what is expected. Because when the artist without language ability, transportation, needs to go to a place that there is a Western Union to be able to send money in their country. It's not a part of your job to take them shopping, to take them places to send money, or when you see them homesick and financially they can't go, take them to a restaurant from their country so they can taste the food. Yes, I cherish and preserve those values that I learned from my father, and they are alive today as they were when I learned them when I was 9 years old. So yes, very intentional. I am very intentional about giving and being sensitive and being present with another human being that, as I said, I have the blessing and the opportunity to work with. So I think that's wonderful. And I feel that my father is always there with me. So I feel closer when I keep those values alive. I feel good personally, and I feel closer to him. Because in the end of the day, he lives on the other side of the planet.
What do you hope that, like, the next generations? I know that you passed off Centro Civico to the next person, and should you find yourself done with New York folklore or passing the baton off to somebody else, what would you hope that the next generations would value in their careers?
I think humanity. A lot of time we get trapped for the end result. And we lose the pleasures of the process. That is extremely valuable. And I hope the new generations of leaders and workers, it doesn't matter the field, always remember that everything is not, obviously everybody has goals and you strive to reach your goals, but pausing, being present, and looking at every opportunity that you come across another human being and wanting to learn about who they are. Who they really are, and how you can get that connection is extremely valuable. And I hope the young generation see that value.
What is something that you hope to learn from your experience at New York Folklore?
Continuously learning. I'm always thirsty. I'm still a sponge. I never let go of any opportunity to learn and grow. And I believe that learning and growing stops when you die. So as long as you're alive and you're breathing, there is opportunity to meet new people, learn new things, be a positive influence in everyone's life that you come across in every way that is possible. I believe in that, and I have a job that is giving me that and is fulfilling me and has not disappointed yet.
Do you feel like it's from your early beginnings to now? Do you feel like you've always had this, or that there's always been a cultural expectation to do better? Or do you feel like it was from your own passions that you've always wanted to learn more, and that you've always, you know, had that thirst for knowledge and everything?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think when you are in an environment that continuously, since you remember, values learning, growing, reading, that your first teachers are your parents. And I was blessed to have that. And as you grow, it becomes natural, but then you get to a point that you have the freedom of choosing. Are you intentional, and do you want that? And I'm intentional, and I want that, and I enjoy that. So combining all of that, I feel like this is in my core. You know, it's not that I force myself.
Mm-hmm.
Everything becomes natural. That is like, this is the way of life, or at least for me.
Well, thank you so much, Ladan, for all your knowledge and all of what you've been able to give us.